Welcome to Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. I am your host, MNG. And today, I have another Ready Greed for you. So today, what we're talking about is confidence boost. That's just the title bit. That's the title of the post that we have right here. And we're just going to go ahead and get into it. So basically what it says is we have one child who is extremely confident. She's the youngest and 7. Our oldest child, 8, lacks confidence in decision making, trying new things, and engaging in some conversation. He's great with his friends. We try to be supportive in any way we can and push him to try new things in a relaxed environment, but he still lacks the confidence. Any tips on things that we can try to help boost his confidence? Now, here's the thing with this. You can try to boost his confidence. And the first thing that I would tell you is that it may not happen right now. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. So trying to boost his confidence probably wouldn't be, it's not going to be something that is probably going to be well accepted. So one thing I would say that you can try is try therapy first to see, just to get him talking and, you know, just get his perception of things that he doesn't want to share with his parent. One of the good things about that is that you get an individual that has no weight in the game, that doesn't benefit at all on whether the kid gains confidence or not, but they do want to be able to assist, and then they can provide you with a wholesome opinion on how to go about this. Now, what I'm going to tell you is that it is possible to help them gain confidence, but it's going to take a little bit of work. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not something that's going to happen now. Now, you say that the youngest child is extremely confident. So now I'm trying to figure out what parent did that kid get those traits from? And then you got the oldest child that lacks confidence in decision making. So do they lack confidence in everything, or they lack confidence in just decision making and trying new things and engaging in some conversations? So let's talk about decision making. So what decision making do they lack confidence? Because, you know, honestly, everybody can't be that leader. So is it that you're trying to put him in like a leadership position and he's trying to get away from making those key decisions because, you know, there is a fear of embarrassment in making a wrong decision, or there's a fear of just making a wrong decision then everybody having something to say or something against it. Now, I'll be one to tell you that there were times where I didn't mind being a leader, but when you make those decisions, the weight pretty much falls on you. So you have to make sure that you're able to make sound decisions when you're in a leadership role, whether you're in a group doing a group project, whether you're amongst your friends, and y'all trying to decide whether y'all want to go to the park or y'all want to go to the splash pad. Do y'all want to go around the corner and see this girl named Susie, or do you want to go to the candy store? So it could be those aspects where he just doesn't want to make any decision. I can't imagine it being a decision between coloring with a red crayon and coloring with a blue crayon. So that's why I'm kind of curious on where the lack of confidence comes from. Like, I wonder what was the first 4 years like for this kid? How is he in school? Like, does he engage in school? Does he raise his hand? Like, certain things like that. So, and then we're saying try new things. Like, what new things are we talking about? Are we talking about sports? Are we talking about taking a painting class? Are we talking about, like, what are we talking about? Like, what are we really getting into when we talk about trying new things? Because when we're talking about trying new things, is it like trying a new video game? Is it trying a new activity? Is it going to a camp? Or is it going to like a recreation center where he doesn't know anybody? Okay. And then he engages in some conversations, but he's great with his friends. So when we talk about engaging in conversation, sometimes it just really has something to do with whether you have something in common with this person. Now, he does great with his friends because all his friends have a commonality. They all have something in common, whether it's video games, comic books, toys, action figures, Marvel movies, whatever the case is, they have something in common. They have something to go on. They build a rapport with each other. Sometimes when you meet new people, and I tell adults this, is that it's hard to make friends when you're an adult. And the reason why it's hard to make friends with your dog, because when you're out there and you don't know these people past. See, as a kid, you're not really too concerned about a kid's past because their past is pretty much filled with being in their parents' house, going to school, doing other little frivolous activities, but you know, their parents are pretty much around. So they're building experiences, some good, some bad, some indifferent, but they're not in charge of the decisions that they're making that can make and break and kind of change their life. When you're an adult, you're pretty much in charge of all the decisions that you make. You know, your mind is pretty much sculpted, it's pretty much molded. So to find like-minded people as an adult is cool, but sometimes it's a little difficult because you kind of got to put some time in and kind of figure a person out, because you can find some dark sides of a person that you just do not like or agree with. So it's a little difficult to make friends as an adult than it is as a kid. But sometimes there are kids that are just shy. You know, they want to see if there is some kind of commonality before they kind of walk into a situation. I know I was like that. I didn't make friends with everybody. I kept a small group of friends, and that was pretty much it. I didn't want to be everybody's friend. And I always wanted to make sure that we had a commonality. I like cartoons. I like games. If you couldn't really vibe with me on that tip, it was kind of difficult. That was shit. Hell, it's kind of difficult for me now because I like a lot of stuff. You could literally consider me a jack of all trades because I kind of like a lot. There's not much that I don't like or I don't have my hand in. I'm kind of good with sports, sort of, kind of. But for the most part, when it comes down to it, like, there's not many adults in the same atmosphere as I am. It's kind of like that gray area of, like, where you stand and kind of where everybody else stands. Either you come across guys that's all sports or, like, no sports. It's kind of hard to kind of, like, put them in the middle bracket. Now, when it comes to trying to give this kid a confidence boost, the second thing I can suggest is role play. You know, role play some things. Once you get an idea on what the situation is, maybe they're shy, maybe they have a hard time, you know, having a conversation because of commonality and everything, or their environments are, you know, a little intimidating, then you do some role playing. You know, you role play with them until they can get comfortable. You know, help them build that energy up. You know, kind of make them a little bit more worldly. It's like, I like to use that word worldly, meaning that you can draw on information from any and everywhere. And it makes you, you know, a more well-rounded person. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the information is not relevant. It's just dumb knowledge sometimes. And what I mean by dumb knowledge is you have facts that you don't readily need or can readily use in any situation, but you use it in a situation where you can create a conversation. Pretty much just put it out there. And so those are a few things that I could think of that you should do. I think the role playing would be one of the best things that you could do for the kid, and put them in situational activities. So situational activities, whether you're doing it in role play or you kind of just do it in real life, which what I would describe is, say you're at an event, or say you're at a club, boys and girls club, let's say that. You're at boys and girls club, how many of them are still open, or YMCA, whatever. You know, there's a group of kids, like a kid event, and they're standing next to you, so you just kind of coach them on how to enter the situation, and you just kind of just learn from there. And then you empower them to go over there and have the conversations, and then when they come back, you just kind of say, okay, well, what happened? What wrong? And then you just kind of analyze the situation and say, okay, I see what happened there. They didn't do anything wrong. You say, well, I see what happened there. So let's try this approach, or let's go over here and try this. Now, they may get extremely tired out from this because it's It's the activity of being able to go in and go out, go in, go out, go in and go out, and try different strategies to get them used and familiar with how to approach certain social activities. And it's not a bad thing. It's a tedious thing. and it's a energy draining thing. But for the most part, you go ahead and you put them in there, in and out, and just kind of see how it goes. And it may be a one-time thing because they may get discouraged because the results aren't adding up to what they thought they were going to be or what they wanted it to be. So results is not adding up. But then that's where that kind of that reassurance comes in and say, hey, we may not be getting the results that you want, but we are making progress. That's the key right there, is progress. So the first thing is you want to sit down and say, okay, let's talk about it. Let's try to introduce you to some things. Let's do some role playing. Then from the role playing, okay, let's go introduce you to some social activities. Then go do some social situational activities and then kind of just figure it out from there and watch it build. Because what we're looking for is we're looking for the progress. That's what we look for. We're looking for the progress. Now, one of the other things I want to introduce is introvert, extrovert. Now, it sounds like the daughter is way more introvert, way more extroverted than the other child is. And they don't really kind of mention, okay, so they mention that, okay, it's a boy and a girl. Okay, cool. So they don't kind of mention, they do mention whether they're the genders. But if we're talking about extroverted and introverted, it sounds like the son is more introverted than he is extroverted. Now, you also have to understand that there is a psychological dynamic along with this as well, so far as the oldest child and the youngest child. Now, I can't really say for sure why the youngest child is way more confident than the oldest child, because the youngest child is probably just trying to outshine more. It's probably trying to get more recognition. And that can be the case because that's the baby. The baby always gets the recognition, always is striving for attention, where the oldest is kind of left to their own devices. And the reason why I can speak to that, and it's not for every situation, but it's a situation that happened to me. Me and my siblings are 12 and 14 years apart, and I have four other siblings. We're 12 and 14 years apart. So you can imagine, once they came along, once the first one came along, which is the second oldest brother, once he came along, attention kind of drifted off of me and kind of went on to him, because he was the youngest. He required the most attention from 0 to 10 and beyond. That kind of pushed me out the picture at 12 years old. Like, okay, well, M&G, you got to go and fend for yourself. You got to go and get it for yourself. Oh, you can't get no any more allowance no more because now we have a baby expense. Okay, so now I got to go and figure out how I'm going to make money, how I'm going to pay for lunch, how I'm going to pay for these candy trips to the store, how I'm going to buy this new video game that comes out. Remember when video games were like $40 for the game? How I'm going to buy this new Mortal Kombat? How I'm going to buy this new Street Fighter that's coming out? You know, a lot of that stuff was going through my mind, and I'm like, man, like, I don't get no more allowance. It's gonna be difficult. I don't like difficult. I like things to be easy. I mean, I like challenges and stuff like that, but regardless of the case, it pushed me out of the picture. And I had to go and fit for myself. And the greatest thing that could have happened was, you know, my mom used to bring me home candy, because she was working at this little convenience store. Like a pharmacy store or whatever. But she would bring me home candy, and I had the idea to sell this candy. And sell it I did. I sell all kinds of candy when I was in school. I was selling it right out of my locker. I even sold to a few teachers. Now, I'm not saying I was the biggest seller in the school or anything, but I was the only seller in the school. And then I got caught. I tried to sneak in and bring all my candy in. I woke up late one day. I remember like it was yesterday. I woke up late and I was like, damn. And I had orders. Like, I got to a point where I was taking in orders of candy. I was taking the candy to the metal detector, and it just kept going off. I had it like in my hoodie and everything. It just kept going off. And then the principal was standing right there. It was like, yeah, we got information. People in here that got candy, because candy was banned when I was in middle school. And she took me for every piece of candy I had. They ain't even know I was selling candy. They ain't even know where the candy was coming from. Because kids was in school giving up the candy. They didn't even know the candy was coming from. Shut down my whole operation. And I was getting a little bit of money off of it. I ain't saying I was making bank, but I was making enough for all the things that I wanted to do at that age. So when you think about it, you know, being the oldest child, I had to make a way. You know, I had to go and pave that way. This kid is not paving the way. So maybe since they're only a year apart, you know, whatever the dynamic was as they were coming up, one had to outshine the other. And it had to start when it was a little younger, as they were growing up together. I mean, they only a year apart, which is, you know, a little crazy. It could be a year, year and a half or whatever. But still, they got that year apart from each other. So, you know, the dynamic there is already speaking for itself. The youngest one, I mean, they're only a year apart in age. So the youngest one is like, oh, I'm about to shine out. I'm about to stunt. Like, I already see what it is. She probably bullied them when she came out. Was like, you take the back seat. Hit him right upside the head. You know, that could have been a possibility. There is room here to help this young man build and become confident. Normally, there was a report that I read, and this was like years ago, and I doubt it's still happening now, but there's a report that I read, and this is where dumb knowledge comes in at, right? And so the report basically says that parents of ugly kids, or unattractive kids, we're not gonna call them ugly, that's just insensitive, right? Of unattractive kids, they dress them up in name brand clothes, shoes, everything, so they can be able to have friends and get a confidence boost. Now, I'm not saying that's the same thing for this kid right here. I will hope they're not dressing this kid up in name brand clothes and everything just so he can make friends or for the friends that he already have. But there's a few things that they can do to be able to be, to have an effective conversation and to assist this kid to get a confidence boost. And maybe he doesn't need a confidence boost. Maybe he's just shy. Because like I said in the beginning, that could only be for now. He's 8 now. So that could only be for now. And later on, he may be well off in his paces. He may be on a football team. You know, when you get to high school, I'm not going to lie, high school tends to change you a little bit. Either you're going to go further into your shell, you're going to come a little bit more out of your shell, or you're going to come all the way out of your shell. So the dynamic for high school is a little different. So if you give it about, I don't know, if you want to wait another like 5-7 years till you get to like the high school. But I think, honestly, looking at the post, I think this kid is going to be all right. I don't see anything that, well, the post is not giving me anything that this kid is going to be like shy forever, or because I mean, he has great conversation with his friends, but he doesn't engage in some conversations, and then he has trouble making decisions. I mean, those, again, you can rectify a lot of that with, you know, role playing, just having conversation, because the best knowledge you can have is experience. That's why they do on a job training, because when you get into the job, they can tell you all day long what you're gonna do, but it's better when you actually doing it versus just sitting there just reading a manual day in and day out and not really getting the practice that you need. Once you get that practice, you're gonna be good to go. But if you don't get that practice, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult to sit there and try to remember a manual in order to try to make like the best opportunity or do the best thing for you. So yeah, so that's my take on that. I think this kid is gonna be good. If they go ahead and had a conversation, if they do the role playing at home, they can do the role playing with the sister, do the role playing with the sister, or do the role playing with whomever, whatever. Then do the situational activities or the social activities. once you get do that and get that down packed, then you kind of go back to the drawing board, had a conversation and say, hey, this is some things that where I can see you can improve on, you know, treat it like, you know, a performance review. No, and you know, y'all say that try to be supportive in any way and try to push them into new things, but it's no need to push them. I think push is the wrong term. Like, just kind of just guide him into these activities and then find out what he likes. You know, he may like chess. So if you like chess, you know, introduce him to a chess club where, you know, these people have the same commonality as he do. They want to play chess. If he likes to play video games or read comics, you know, put him in a club where they read comics and, you know, they play video games, you know, because there's a commonality there. So it may be easier for him to be able to relate to those people than it would be to try to put him in a situation or an environment where he doesn't really guide well with these different people, or he really doesn't mesh well with these different people. So that's the perspective that I come from, is, you know, try to introduce him into the things where people that have the same interest as him, you know, go along with his interest. That would be the best route to go, instead of just trying to introduce him into situations where, like, he may not be comfortable. He may think that y'all trying to get him to engage in particular situations that, you know, he's not comfortable with. And that's completely fine. You know, we all want to do things that makes us comfortable. And as long as we're doing things that make us comfortable, that's what's important. So I think that's the best route to go ahead and take from that. So I'll leave that there. Let it rest. This is your host, MNG. And this is Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. Don't forget to leave us a voice link. I love to hear your opinion. I love to hear your thoughts on this episode. What would you have done differently? It's a good question. What would you have done differently? What kind of advice would you go ahead and give these people in order to help their kid, you know, gain some kind of confidence? Send us an email at farewellmrniceguy@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at farewellmng. So, hey, that's the show that we have for today. I'll see y'all in the next episode. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.